Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Listener Service Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Very good.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished yet. We always like to help our listeners, and we got this little request and thought we would help spread the word.
All right, here it is. From Nancy F., and we don't know where Nancy F. is from. It hardly matters. And the subject of the letter is Boycott Car Talk. Here we go again. Another summer of us waiting for the puzzler to come back from vacation. You've never explained why this has to be. So many of us plan our entire weekend so that we are near a radio to hear the puzzler and last week's answer. And it's not like you have a shortage of great puzzles sent in by local listeners. For example, you've never used the one I sent in 3 or 4 years ago. I've had enough of this needless denial of entertainment, and I expect that other listeners have too. So I'm organizing a boycott of Car Talk. Let's all refuse to listen until the puzzler returns on a truly weekly basis. Spelled W-E-A-K. No. Let's make them sweat. Let's show them who's boss. The only thing is, she says, I don't have access to your audience to make that rallying call. So would you mind announcing the boycott for me?
I think. And you read her letter?
It really could work. Thanks, Nancy.
You turncoat.
What does he think? We're stupid? Well, you know, it's like, you know, Mickey Mantle observed near the end of his career, if he said, if I thought I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yes.
And if I thought the puzzler was going to be this popular, I would have done a better job. But, Nancy, we're with you. Boycott away.
All right, all right. Well, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
This is Edwin from Atlanta.
I have a feeling we've spoken before.
No, we almost did, though.
Oh, we almost did. Ah, that's why your voice is familiar.
Okay, okay.
What's up, Edwin?
I have a 93 Lincoln Town Car.
Oh.
And very recently, I'm driving along, say, about 30, 35 miles an hour, and it sounds as if I'm about to change gears, and I got like you're rolling over one of those side roads when you're going off the highway.
Yeah. Right, where they put the corrugations in the road.
Right. And you're running over that. And I took it into the dealer, and the dealer said, I know what your problem is. Your problem is that you need to change your transmission fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Okay.
The noise is still there.
So you're driving along at 30, 35 miles an hour on a nice, quiet little side street somewhere.
Right.
And all of a sudden you hear, just like one time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a whole lot of times then.
And then it goes away, and then it comes back.
Right, and again it goes back. When
and it lasts about that long.
Right.
Hmm.
No idea.
Well,
no idea?
I have an idea.
No idea?
What? Give us a break, will you?
Stop the car.
Give us a break here.
Well, he has no idea. I admit I have a lousy idea, but I think what's happening is my brother's going to like this, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll ask you a question first.
Okay.
And your answer may determine whether or not I abandon ship.
Okay.
This happens when the car reaches this 35-mile-an-hour speed.
Right.
In other words, it's never at 55, and it's never at 25. Is that true?
It's never at 25. It has happened sometimes at about 50, 55, maybe, but very seldom.
Ooh.
Get my life jacket.
Don't tell me I'm going to need a new car.
Well, here's what I think it is, and I'm going to try to talk Edwin into it.
Okay.
Because he sounds like the kind of guy who believe anything.
If it doesn't cost me any money, I'll
It might cost you some money, but it may not. I have a solution for that, too.
Okay.
Your transmission has a device called a lock-up torque converter.
Okay.
Which locks up the converter when you get to about 35 miles an hour so that it behaves like one solid unit instead of the fluid coupling that it is. In other words, a torque converter is responsible for transmitting the power from the engine to the transmission.
Okay.
And it allows slippage so that you can come to a stop and leave the thing in gear.
Mm-hmm.
I believe yours is not fully engaging, and that's why it's most likely to happen. I hear the groans from my brother. It's most likely to happen at 35 miles an hour, which is exactly the speed when the thing is supposed to kick in.
Kick in, okay.
Have you noticed any decrease in your highway gas mileage?
Decrease.
Have you taken
any? He's got a link. It isn't check the mileage.
Do you check the mileage? Are you getting double digits?
No.
Eight miles to the gallon.
No.
So you haven't noticed.
The mileage on the highway is fine.
No, and I believe that most of the time this thing is in fact working correctly. But here's the test.
Right.
Go into your filling station. Ask them to throw the car on the lift and unplug the lockup converter.
Okay.
And see if the noise goes away.
Okay.
If it does, leave it unplugged.
So it's not the transmission.
It's a piece of the transmission.
It's not, but you could safely leave this unplugged, and while it would cause some decrease in your mileage, the additional cost would be nothing compared to what it would cost you to actually fix this.
Okay.
Yeah. 8 miles to the gallon is great.
Compared to what it's going to cost.
Right. Compared to what it's going to cost.
So take it into the shop. Ask them to disconnect the lockup torque converter.
Okay.
Good luck, Edwin.
Thank you. Good luck.
Great talking to you, Edwin.
Same here.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good now.
Because I'm not even sure he has a lockup torque converter. Well, if he had one, I was
going to bring that up, but it's 93.
No, I'm pretty sure he's got one.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, he should have had one.
He should have one.
One.
I liked it. And I liked Edwin.
Edwin sounds like the kind of guy I want to know.
He didn't really care.
No.
If you told him he needed open heart surgery, he'd laugh.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen from Eugene, Oregon.
Kristen with a K?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, we got you. What's up, Kristen?
Well, we have a 2005 Saturn View. And about a month and a half ago, we went camping with my husband's car and with the view.
That's exactly the vehicle to have if you're going to go camping, right?
Well, it is when we have two kids and a big dog.
Yeah, and you get a good view, too.
Yeah.
Oh, bad.
That we do out here in Oregon. So the air conditioner had been working in the car before we got camping, and then we had a little incident on the way there, and I rear-ended my husband's Corolla. Not enough that it did any damage that you can physically see, but the next day when I was driving back into town to get more camping supplies, it was very hot, and I tried to put the air conditioner on, and it doesn't create any cool air.
Wait, so you were driving the view.
I was.
And you rear-ended him.
I did.
You were going somewhere in two cars.
We were, because we have so much
junk
stuff for the kids, and our dog is so big that we couldn't fit everything in the back.
Oh, so you had to take.
No, that makes sense. I think a lot of people make the mistake, oddly enough, of buying the one humongous thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
a bad idea.
Like an eight-seater Sequoia. Those few times, you're almost better off taking two cars, even though on that particular trip you would have done better with the one big one, perhaps. But you're not driving that one big one all the rest of the time that you're not camping.
Yeah,
anyway, that's another story.
All the people who have SUVs are trying to get rid of them. So this would be a good time to buy one.
we bought you one for your birthday. Anyway, okay. Kristen, so you rear-ended your husband with the view.
That's correct.
And what you did when you did that, even though you didn't do any damage, is you probably cracked the condenser.
Oh.
And the condenser is the radiator through which the refrigerant circulates. And when that leaked out, you didn't smell it or hear it or feel it or anything.
Probably not.
No, because it's colorless, odorless, you know, and all that stuff. And had you been right there and with your hand in front of the leak, your hand might have frozen.
Okay.
As that refrigerant escaped, because the pressure drop would have dropped the temperature. But I'm guessing that's what you did.
Is that pretty simple to fix?
Mm.
No.
You mean like how much money?
Yes.
No, it's hundreds.
Easy.
Okay.
It's many hundreds. Yeah. I mean, when you say there was no damage to the car.
Right.
Is that like a relative term? Like, no damage means no. I can still open the doors?
No, there's absolutely no damage to the bumper on the front of the View or the back of the Corolla.
Is this because there were so many dents in it already
that you can't
distinguish between the old one and the new one?
Well, maybe with my husband's Corolla, my kids call it the crapmobile, but no. My car, it looks perfect.
It does.
Well, there certainly is a possibility that you blew a fuse or something like that, and before you bemoan the idea that you're going to have to spend $900 to fix this, you ought to, at the very least, check the fuses, because you could have popped a fuse.
Okay.
You know, so you can do that yourselves, or you can take it someplace and have them checked. But I think whoever checks it will know immediately if you've lost your refrigerant. It's very simple to determine
that. Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Kristen.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andy from New York.
New York City?
Yeah, in the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
So basically, me and my girlfriend wanted to get away for the weekend, and we borrowed my dad's car to drive up to the country. And, driving an unfamiliar car, wasn't quite aware where the gas gauge was at, et cetera, and we found ourselves in the deepest, deepest backcountry road, running on fumes.
You sneaky devil, you.
We figured, yeah, right. She's like, uh-huh, okay, go to the country. Right. Anyway, so we come to this beautiful stables, and there are horses everywhere. And she says, well, are there horses? There are people. We're saved. And sure enough, there were, and they were generous enough to lend us their gasoline. They had a little tank. They said, well, you know, if there's gas in it, you're welcome to have it.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Anyway, so we got the tank, but being a city slicker, I was not familiar with these newfangled gas tanks where you don't see the spout. The spout is sort of inside the thing. So thinking I was being clever and inventive, I took a Perrier bottle.
And made a funnel.
Made a funnel. But then the trap to the gas tank is spring-loaded, and the neck of the bottle was, you know, a centimeter too wide.
Right, right.
But I had a straw from Starbucks, and I fished that in there so that it was mostly out of the tank.
And you dropped the straw.
Yes, I dropped the straw into the tank.
Okay. Great.
So we get back in the car, we're rescued, we're happy, we're driving like, you know, 1 minute and the engine starts knocking and rattling. It sounds like there's a piece of the Terminator trying to eat the car, and then it stalls out. Mm. And I went into this high school regression. I'm 35, and I thought, okay, I'm 17 now. My dad is going to kill me. I'm dead. But it starts up again, and we manage somehow to get into town and meet the people we're supposed to meet, and the next-door neighbor is a killer mechanic, and he says, you got bad gas. It has nothing to do with the straw. I'm sure the straw is just floating. Gas wouldn't do that. Just put in dry gas and high octane, and it'll be fine. And we did that. And after, you know, maybe a quarter tank of the high octane with two things of dry gas, it was very smooth. And I figured we were home free. And my dad said, "So, how was the car?" Oh, it was fine, you know.
And you didn't volunteer
way.
Anything.
Forget it.
No.
Right.
But, okay, but then he goes, really, that's interesting because I find that it's stalling when I start it up. But other than that, it's fine. And
so he tells you this.
Yes. So I said, well, now that you mention it, I did find myself on a back end road, put in some junky gas, but I did not mention the straw.
What kind of a car is it?
It's an 8-year-old Buick.
How much gas did you add from the wonderful people? Was that a gallon?
I would say 3 to 4 gallons, maybe 3.5.
And then you filled it with high test, you said.
I put in two things of the dry gas.
Yeah.
Plus the highest test you could get, and drove it down to a half a tank. And then I put in another thing of dry gas and filled it again with high octane.
Is he still operating on the full tank that you gave him?
He's down to pretty much the bottom of it, and he was getting ready to put in another thing of high octane, and his mechanic said, watch it, just see what it does. It may take a few tanks, and his mechanic, not knowing there's a straw in there, said if it persists, he would put in some kind of turbocharged line cleaner detergent type thing.
Yeah. If I were you,
yeah,
I would keep my mouth shut right now.
Yeah, I would have done is I would have complained about the car.
You are so devious. Oh. You know, Dad, the car ran okay, but I noticed it stalls out every once in a while.
Yeah, see, you should have just turned the tables on him.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
Oh, wow, of course.
That's good. See, that's why you have a radio show, and, you know, I'm struggling in New York.
Brilliant. Say, Dad, come on. I mean, it's time for you to trade this thing in. It ran terribly. I had all I could do to get it up. Yeah, I, with my girlfriend in the car, I mean, I was ashamed to be driving such a jalopy. Don't ever lend me a car in this condition again.
That's classic.
Well, I don't think the straw is harming anything. In fact, gasoline is made from straws. It's a little known fact. But...
And straws are made from gasoline. I mean, it's a perfect blend here. Either the gas tank is going to fill up with straws. All the straws going to turn back into gas.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the straw. In fact, you can verify this by getting a straw and some gasoline and seeing if the straw, in fact, dissolves. I suspect, if anything, you have some dirty injectors, and I would recommend that you put in an injector cleaner, not dry gas,
okay,
but a fuel injector cleaner.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think the problem is all those damn cans of dry gas that you're pouring. I mean, you had about a 60% solution of dry gas.
Yeah, that'll make it. You're trying to burn alcohol, for God's sake. But I would try putting in a can of Tecron and tell Dad nothing.
Gotcha.
He doesn't listen to Car Talk, does he?
Well, you know, I did change my name just to protect the lives of the innocent, et cetera.
Okay. Well, what's your real name in case we have to call you?
You can call me Fritz. You can call me...
Al. You can call me Sal.
Good luck, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Anyway, it's time to take a short break so we can refresh my brother's medication.
I don't need no stinking medication! Don't need medication. I keep telling you that.
All right. That's good, Tommy. You don't need it. We'll be right back.
Now we're going different directions along parallel lines.
There's a sign on the highway warning trouble up ahead. It reminds me of your phone call and the angry words we said when we were traveling together. We were free and all was well. Now I'm a lonesome prisoner locked up in an 18-wheeled cell.
And even though nudist colonies approve the temporary use of earmuffs whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's Puzzler. We'll remind you, Puzzler addicts, that we post a Puzzler a week all summer long on our website, cartalk.com. So if you're really bored, you've got nothing to do, or the boss is away, and you can do it furtively, go there and loiter. For the rest of you, the Puzzler is on summer vacation, and we'll be back sometime in September.
The Puzzler is on vacation. Let me get this right now. But we're here.
Yeah.
So we can, like, just go right on misinforming the American public about cars, right?
Absolutely. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
What was this?
At 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brian from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi, Brian. What's going on?
Hey, man, I got a red 1987 Mercedes-Benz 560 SL. This is the little two-door convertible roadster.
Yeah.
It's been my daily driver since 1990, and has over 300,000 miles on the odometer.
Great.
But right now, there's a fair amount of rattling noise coming from under the front end of the car, so I'm anticipating a significant repair bill. And, you know, I've had a couple of significant repair bills in the last few years here. And what I'm wondering is, I wanted to seek you guys as sage advice on when someone like me should continue to make reasonable repairs, or should they stop spending money on the car and just park it? I mean, is there a formula for computing this, or some Gantt chart I can look at?
Do you have a significant other? You have a wife?
Yes, I do.
How does she weigh in on this?
Well, that's what I said. The noise I'm hearing from the front of the car is not going to compare to anything to the noise I'm going to hear when I tell her that I got to spend another $1,000 on this car.
Well, what's the most significant and costly repair you've had to do in the last, say, I don't know, 90 days?
Nothing.
All right, how about the last year?
The last year, I had the compressor replaced for about $1,200.
Yeah.
And the year before that, it was $2,500 to have the tranny rebuilt.
Oh, that's
okay.
So
how about the year before that? Let's work all the way back to, like, you know, 2000.
I think you go from there, you probably have to go back another 2 years for another $2,000, and then back to 1999 when I spent $4,500 to have the head rebuilt.
Okay. Do you have a website where we can look this up?
I put stubby pencil to paper, yeah. And I figured out, you know, the number of months I've owned this car since 1990, and I divide that by the total repair bills I've had since 1999.
Right.
And I'm coming up with, like, an average of $60 a month in repair bills. So, to me, that's low.
That's peanuts.
That's cheaper than having to buy a new car, making a new car payment.
I mean, it sure is. I mean, just the payments on the car would be five times that.
Oh, more, 10 times. Now, how does the car look?
It looks great. It's a classic.
So the seats
good.
Aren't all torn up. And
no,
it is,
no.
So it doesn't look like my brother's car.
No, it looks really nice. I mean, it gets a lot of compliments.
All right, tell us about this new noise.
The new noise is like when I hit a pothole.
Yeah.
I get a nice loud rattling sound, and then when I go around a sharp curve, I hear a mechanical clank.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like that either. But but the car doesn't pull. There doesn't seem to be any slack in the steering.
It'll pull when one of those wheels falls off.
Yeah. I don't like the sound.
Well, I had the wheel. I mean, the ball joints replaced about 3 years ago.
That's good.
Oh, really? Because I was going to guess it's
how many?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. All four of them.
I mean, you might even be able to figure it out by getting a helper of some kind, and one of you crawls underneath, and the other one just jumps up and down on the bumper.
Yeah.
And you might be able to figure out where the noise is coming from.
Right.
If not,
usually when your head gets squashed between the ground and the bumper, that usually puts an end to this exercise. But
you may have to go to a mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to because
I do too.
I think it's most likely that it's if you did the ball joints 3 years ago, it's unlikely that they're worn out. But that was my first guess.
Yeah.
It could be something as simple as a bad stabilizer link or a bad stabilizer bushing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or it could be control arm bushings. These cars have, you know, rubberized control arm bushings.
You're right.
On both the top and the bottom. And if those are bad, you'll get this exact noise. And, you know, it's not that expensive, but it falls right in line with your somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 a year. Answer me this question. Will your wife ride in this car with you, or is this strictly a Brian-only car?
She rides in it when we go out and stuff.
Sure.
It's my daily driver. I drive it everywhere.
Yeah, no, this is a great car.
Well, Tommy's daily driver is his 52 MGTD, but no one will ride with him. The dog even jumped out.
At 55 miles an hour.
Right, exactly.
Wuss of a dog.
He said, "Oh, I'm out of here." So yeah. I'm guessing it's something like a bad control arm bushing.
Right. So it's cheaper to spend money to repair it than it would be to buy a new one.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And if the body's in good shape and the undercarriage is safe.
No rust.
Oh, drive it.
And the last thing you want to do is wait so long that something terrible happens.
Yeah.
So I'd say take it to the mechanic as soon as you can.
Will do. I'll do that Friday.
Great. In fact, you should start like a $60 a month thing. Just start sending him $60 a month, even when nothing needs to be done. You can build up a little reserve.
And you guys 5% of that, huh?
Exactly. Good luck, Brian.
Thank you so much.
A little coffee can. You just keep putting the $60 every month in it.
See you later. Sure, exactly. Do your own little fund at home.
Why not?
Do you do that?
No.
It's 160 for you. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-222-78255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary, and I'm calling from Newport, Rhode Island.
Hi, Mary.
Hello.
What's going on?
Newport.
Well, I have a Nissan Altima, and the clutch is going bad.
What's it doing?
It's starting to slip in, especially when I'm going fast, and it's like it won't engage when I step on the gas.
Yeah, well, it's the engine revs up, but the car doesn't go
exactly.
faster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bummer.
You get trouble with your clutch.
I do.
You have diagnosed this perfectly, exactly right, and you don't need us.
No, I do. Because I know well your excellent fiscal advice that you sometimes
give.
So the question is that I am, you know, trying to put off paying for this big repair as long as possible.
Oh.
But I have some concerns, which is, you know, am I doing any more damage to the car by sort of being a cheapskate?
You will.
And is it dangerous?
Yeah.
Well, it has the potential to be dangerous. At some point.
There you are driving along, and the train is coming.
Yes.
And you're
going
to beat it to the train crossing in the street.
Right.
And you floor it.
Yes.
And the engine goes, and the car goes, slows down.
Yeah.
And stops at some point.
It stops right there on the tracks. So is it dangerous? Yeah.
Well, unless you avoid, you know, Newport. Oh, there are trains in Rhode Island.
Yeah, there's no
trains in Newport. So as long as I don't leave Aquidneck Island, it's just the dinner train, and I think I can outrun the dinner train.
Don't ever think you can outrun the train.
Not even the dinner train?
Don't ever think you can outrun the train.
Trains are a lot faster than you think. But that is the worst case scenario, that in fact you get stuck someplace
right.
like at a highway intersection with a semi bearing down on you. And of course, when the clutch finally gives up, no matter what you do, you will not be able to get the thing to move an iota. Now,
at which point you would have done far more damage to the whole business than is there now.
Right, because the risk you run is that you damage the flywheel.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
you're
going to wear the clutch down to the rivets.
That sounds bad.
And that's bad.
Yeah, and when that happens, the rivets will begin to dig into the clutch cover, which you're going to replace anyway.
So you don't care about that.
But they're also going to dig into the flywheel, which you do care about.
You do care about.
Because that costs several hundred dollars.
Oh.
So, but if you're planning to keep the car, why not just fix it?
Sure. Well, you know.
You're on the island now.
I know. I really don't have to leave.
How many miles on this thing?
Almost 98,000.
How many miles on the island?
Seven.
Right, something. 15, I don't know.
15 miles.
Yeah.
I can walk to work. It's, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got almost 100,000 miles out of the clutch, so
right.
you're probably not driving wrongly.
So that sounds reasonable, too, that I'm
that
not.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
And so why not just
I sense a Freudian slip there. You said you got 100,000 miles out of the clutch.
I said that.
That's what it sounded like to me, huh?
No. That wasn't a Freudian slip.
Okay, I thought you were just saying something about Mary's skills.
No, I think she did fine getting 98,000 miles out of the
clutch. You did do fine.
Out of the clutch.
Okay.
But you need to get it to the mainland unless you have somebody there that can fix it for you. But you should just get it done ASAP.
Okay.
Enjoy your summer, Mary.
I will do that. Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to patch the mosquito netting in the MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is that part of the show where we check in on the advice that we gave to a caller from a past show to find out if we were lucid, luminous,
or losing it. So who's our lucky contestant this week?
Well, the little 3x5 card says it's Suzanne from Syracuse, New York. Suzanne claimed that her problem was an overheating Mazda Protégé, but she was in deep denial. Her real problem was herself.
Wow. In the process of changing the thermostat, I broke some $35 sensor. In the process of putting everything back together, I decided I was going to change the distributor cap because I had a new one, so I might as well put it on. And I broke a spark plug wire. And then my friend and I got laughing while we were doing that, so we put it on in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And my poor little car was bucking and spitting, and it bucked so hard that it blew the air filter off.
You know, we used to have a do-it-yourself auto repair shop.
Yeah.
And people would come in, people much like you,
mm-hmm.
to do things much like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to give them a little lecture all the time. And we said, you probably think that you came in here and your goal is to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
That is your third goal. Your first goal is don't get hurt. And your second goal is try not to break anything that I'd already broke. I mean, they paid us so they could break their own cars. Boy, what a business idea that was.
What a country. And we got a lifetime of laughs out of it, too. Didn't we?
We did.
So what did we tell Suzanne was causing her car to overheat?
We zeroed in on the electric fan behind the radiator. Mm. We decided it wasn't working because the car never overheated on the highway, only around town. That made sense to us.
Find out how we did. Suzanne, are you there?
What do you mean I'm in denial?
Suzanne, before we find out if we actually helped you or just enabled you to break something else in your car, we need to make sure that the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff or the Syracuse chapter of the Do-It-Yourselfers Anonymous.
Absolutely not.
Was it the electric fan?
No.
Damn.
All right,
you already
Susan.
Said you changed the thermostat, you broke the spark plugs, and okay, what was it?
Well, here's what happened. You know this has got to have a little story, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the process where it was bucking after I had changed the spark plug wires, mm-hmm. I ended up wearing out the battery.
Mm-hmm.
I replaced the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And then started having trouble with the car not starting while I was waiting for the next paycheck to come to go get the radiator fan fixed.
Oh, we weren't privy to all of this.
No, this has happened since then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't starting. I was waiting for the next paycheck to go get the radiator fan fixed. But, of course, if it doesn't start, it can't overheat. So I had to fix that thing first.
Yeah.
I ended up having to put a new starter in it. That didn't work.
Oh.
So I put a new alternator in it. That didn't work. I put a second new alternator. That didn't work. And I was still very sad. So believe it or not, they ended up having to put in a third one that was a new one, a Bosch.
Uh-huh.
And the car runs fine and it doesn't overheat.
So you're trying to make us believe that putting in an alternator made the car stop overheating?
Let me tell you what happened.
Oh, come on, Suzanne. I call foul here. I call foul.
I got it into the dealer, you know, into their mechanic guys.
Yeah.
And they had it for a day, and I said, well, thanks, guys. I'm glad you got the alternator problem worked out. I'll bring it back as soon as I get paid again to have the radiator fan fixed.
And they said, oh, that's fixed, too.
He said, well, now with the new alternator, it may not overheat.
And did you ask, like, how?
No, because I don't care.
I don't either.
Yeah, and guess what? It didn't. But I do have another problem. Now my radio doesn't work.
Well, we don't care. To be perfectly honest with you. No, I mean, I don't understand.
Well, it probably doesn't have anything to do with it, but there is a chance that that the relay is I don't understand how this could possibly be, but the relay for the fan may be run off the alternator.
I do believe that's what the nice man said.
It may be.
Yeah.
It may be. I mean, if we had any kind of an operation here, we're working with slips of paper. I mean, if we had any kind of an operation, we'd have a database here. We'd have a computer set up so that somebody could, you know, go and look for this stuff and bring up the wiring diagram. But we don't. We have a Mickey Mouse operation here. I'm telling you, we're working off slips of paper and 3x5 cards.
Well, I suppose, I mean, if he said that it may not overheat now, that would mean that all the other alternators didn't work?
Yeah, he said there was something very strange about Mazdas, that they were very temperamental, and that with rebuilt alternators, if they weren't exactly right, and that's why I ended up with a new one that I didn't have to pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of that either. So,
well, although we have no idea why replacing the alternator would have made the thing stop overheating, I'm going to accept that we got the answer wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if in fact the fan wasn't working because of
the
alternator,
I think the answer is right.
I think the answer is right.
Right, because we said the electric fan wasn't working. We didn't know why.
Yeah,
the blade could have fallen off.
I mean, what if someone had sneaked in and stolen the electric fan? Would our answer have been right? Still, yes, it would have been right.
Of course.
Electric fan doesn't work because it isn't there.
Uh-huh.
But if it doesn't work because of the alternator, the fact remains it doesn't work. And I think we're right on that one. I'm
filing a protest.
I am too.
I don't know.
Well, that's all right. We're going to say goodbye to you anyway. Thanks for playing, Suzanne.
Thank you.
You're
very
a good
much,
sport.
Thanks for coming back.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, if you hear a caller on the show that you'd like to bring back on Stump the Chumps, and not just the ones where you know we're wrong.
That wouldn't be fair. Be fair. If you think you have someone that should be interesting, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Hey, it's time for us to take a short break. You know that?
Yeah, I hope I have time to jot down my highlights from this week's show so far. You know, from my memoirs.
Okay, and then what are you going to do with the other 59 seconds?
We'll be back with some interesting thoughts about women.
Oh, jeez.
And, of course, more of your calls in just a minute.
Someone called Tommy's wife a distractor.
Well, I want one black and beautiful and looking like it should. Wanna see that golden eagle out there on my own. Trans Am, I want my own Trans Am. Ride around while I still can in that damn Trans Am. I know they're not as fast as they used to be, and they use up a lot of gas. There's so much more traffic now that I've just got to pass. Trans Am, I want my own Trans Am.
And even though road paving crews throw their radios under the grater whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and how to offend at least half the population.
Yeah, but which half? Actually, no, I mean, this is not offending. I don't think so. No. Well, maybe it is.
Go ahead. We'll let our listeners be the judges.
A short list of why it's good to be a woman. am I in trouble already?
I want to distance myself from this entire...
I
don't know what it says, and it may be unoffensive, but I just want to, in advance, distance myself. So I'm going to move... over here. Okay, go ahead.
Fine. It's good to be a woman because we can congratulate our teammates without ever touching them in the rear end. We don't have to pass gas to amuse ourselves. We got off the Titanic first. If we marry someone 20 years younger, we're aware that we will look like an idiot. That's it. That's all. That was pretty harmless.
Oh, you didn't read the good ones. Come on.
There are more here. Okay. We don't look like a frog in a blender when we dance. How about this one? No fashion faux pas we could make would ever rival the Speedo.
That's true.
We don't have to pass gas when you use that. Yeah, but you ain't having a good time like we are.
That's right. You should try lighting them.
There's some things that women would never have invented like that.
Right.
I mean, the thought would never...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, I think we discussed once that women don't, at least the women we know, don't do practical jokes.
Yeah. They don't like practical jokes. They think they're stupid, they're cruel.
Yeah.
But they're funny.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. I don't want to go there, all right?
Well, don't. Anyway, if you want to keep your puzzler skills fresh this summer, we have set up... Puzzler Central on the web.
Yeah.
Where you can get a new puzzler every week this summer.
New.
Different. Something you may not have seen before, but then again, you may have. And you can find that at cartalk.com.
And by the way, if you happen to have a good puzzler that my poor brother could use or some gibberish that I would like to read, our address is Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge. Hey, come on, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Meh. 02238. Or you can email us from cartalk.com.
And right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-2255. If you have a question for Avogadro, his number is 6.023 × 10². Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jerry in Idaho in a little town called Moscow.
Jerry.
Moscow.
Yes.
Is that Jerry with a J?
Absolutely, Jerry with a J.
Moscow, yeah, spelt like the Russian capital?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Moscow, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
What's up, Jerry?
Well, I have a Isuzu Trooper 2, a good car for all the snow we get up here.
Yeah.
It's been a very good car. However, about six, 7 months ago. I developed a problem, and nobody here have had to hire some mechanics. Nobody can figure it out.
Yeah,
I just love these kinds of problems that nobody else can figure out.
Well, I thought maybe it'd be better not to let it break.
So you've taken it
down
to like 25, 30 people.
And they've all experienced everything that you've experienced, and they couldn't figure it out.
That's right.
Lay it on us, Jerry.
All right.
The problem is that there's a rhythmic sound coming out of the rear differential area of the car.
Mm.
It's most noticeable around 20, 25 miles an hour. It kind of sounds like this at about 20, 25.
I'll do it for you. Vroom, 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 vroom,
no, much faster,
vroom.
Much faster.
Vroom, 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 vroom,
yeah,
vroom,
there
vroom.
You go. Exactly, that's how it is.
Okay.
Below 25 miles an hour, you don't hear anything.
No, I do hear it, but it's slow. You don't really notice it until about 10, maybe.
And what does it do at 50 miles an hour?
It smooths out. You hardly notice it at 50 or 60.
Of course, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Go ahead, man.
But go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. It's
assuming
not the
tire. Assuming that you're our cooperative witness.
Okay, it is not the tires. I have a complete set of summer and winter tires that I rotate on and off, and I've done that a couple times. It has nothing to do with the tires. Here's an important clue. When you turn the car to the left, the sound goes away.
Oh, jeez.
No, you like that.
Well, I might, but I
think you like that.
I have more clues.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a four-wheel drive. Makes no difference whether I'm in two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Well, we knew that.
Okay.
Not really. We don't know anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's the work that was done.
This is going to hurt.
This is going to kill us.
This is going to kill us.
Okay. Be nice, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
The first mechanic said, I don't know what it is. Okay, so I took it to a different mechanic. And the second mechanic said, I think it's the wheel bearing in the right rear wheel. So I said, fine, change it. So he changed that. Made no difference whatsoever. Went back to the first mechanic who's been taking care of the car, you know, for like 10 years. He's my basic, you know, mechanic.
Yeah.
And he looked at it, and he couldn't, we really couldn't figure it out. He thought that it was coming from the rear differential unit.
Mm.
So I got a junkyard replacement for the gear assembly. The whole business, you know. So that's what has been done. One final hint, which may or may not be relevant. About 4 months before this problem arose, I was in a minor accident where I suffered a small dent in the rear.
Left rear, left rear?
Left rear.
Left rear, yeah, left rear!
Okay. So there we have it. And no one knows, everyone says, I have no idea.
Well, here's the good part about all this. I mean, this can't be bad. The good part is that of the four things that could have been wrong,
yes,
you've already changed three of them.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So my brother has immediately focused on the fourth, which is a great strategy on his part.
Okay. Well,
he's gonna give you the reasons why this fourth thing that they didn't do anything to yet is the problem, and how can he be wrong? He can't be wrong.
I think what's happened to this thing is you have bent the left rear axle flange.
Yeah, I love it.
If you pull off the tire on the left rear and you pull off the brake drum, what's left behind is the axle flange. That's the thing that has the six studs sticking out of it, or five, whatever the case may be, that the wheel actually bolts to.
Okay,
those studs that stick out are called wheel bolts, and the nuts hold on the tire and, you know, the wheel.
And that thing is the end of the axle.
Okay.
That's one end. The other end goes into the spider gears and the differential.
In the differential.
Okay.
That thing is bent.
Okay.
And that's what you need replaced. Go to the junkyard and buy yourself a left rear axle. It'll come with a bearing and everything. And slap that thing in.
Uh-huh.
This is a 5-minute job, by the way, almost.
Now, do I need the whole axle, or can I just get the flange?
No, the axle comes as part of
it. All one piece.
It's all one piece. It's all made as one.
I just need a left rear axle.
A left rear axle will come with the studs, the flange, the grease, everything.
Okay.
And it may even come with a bearing on it. If the bearing feels okay to your guy, just slap the thing in, and you're going to say, those knuckleheads.
Oh, man. No, this is... The coincidences here.
It's a no-brainer.
The left turn business and the three out of four things
Yeah.
And here it is, the fourth thing that's left. This, and the logic is impeccable.
Okay.
Right, and so is the luck.
This is a no-brainer, and that's the kind we're good at.
Yeah.
I have one question to perhaps interject here.
Don't spoil it now, Jerry.
Why did this not appear immediately after I had this minor...
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Jerry, and...
you know, I suspect, to try to answer that, that you perhaps have changed your taste in music in the intervening months, that maybe you were a hard rock music fan, and now you've gone to the softer sound, which has enabled you to hear these noises over the din of the music that you had been listening to.
That could be it.
That's an interesting theory. Yeah. It's probably true.
Probably true.
Probably true.
Good luck, Jerry.
Left axle.
Okay.
Go for it, man.
Thank you very, very much.
It's a pleasure.
You guys are great.
Yeah, you won't think so in a week. See ya.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
See you, Jerry.
What?
Oh, he
bought it.
If ever we had a shot at something.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, it all fit together.
How serendipitous that they replaced everything else.
As soon as he said they replaced the right rear axle, I said, we're home free.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail in Salt Lake City.
Is that G-A-Y-L-E?
No, it's G-A-I-L.
I know. That's what I wrote.
You know, I just have to beg to differ with you guys. I am a woman, and I am a practical joker.
You are?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the latest practical joke you've pulled off?
When was the last time you put shoe polish on a phone?
When did you last put saran wrap on a toilet? Come on, fess up, kid.
Well, how about a remote-controlled flatus machine?
Really?
Yes.
That sounds... Where did we get this? Well, I'm glad to hear, and I think we need to hear from more women who are practical jokers, because maybe it's just the women that we know.
That's right.
I see a nationwide poll here of how many women are practical jokers. Wow.
Yeah, I see it. I see
that's
it coming.
That's it.
Anyway, Gail, what can we help you with today?
I've always wanted an old VW Beetle, and...
We can tell you how to electrify the bathroom doorknob.
And have you ever done the saran wrap thing?
No.
Ask my sister about it.
You saran wrap. You saran wrap a toilet. Especially if you take one of the light bulbs out of the bathroom, it's almost impossible to detect.
You can't see it. It's so beautiful. I mean, you can't see it. You know.
Our sister recently went on a trip, it was the occasion of the birth of her first grandchild, and it was at Easter time, and she had already prepared Easter dinner, which we traditionally have at her house. And she said, well, there's no sense in your going someplace else. I've already got everything cooked, but I'm not going to be here. Why don't you guys just come to my house and have dinner? And
she said, in fact, I've already set the table.
So all you have to do is eat dinner and clean up and go home. So we did even better than that. We, instead of washing all the dishes, we threw half of them out. So we cut down the time. But we couldn't leave without doing some practical jokes. And we short-sheeted her bed, which didn't work because we overestimated her height. And she got into bed and didn't know that anything was wrong. But the brilliant thing we did was we saran-wrapped her toilet. And I needn't say anything else. But of course, she came home from her long car ride.
Ah, the imagery.
Late at night, and I was smart enough to unscrew one of the two light bulbs in her bathroom, which she just assumed was blown out, of course. And being able to see with the light from one, never mind. Anyway.
Okay, an old VW Beetle. Yeah. An old one.
Yeah, an
60s?
Old one. Yeah, 60s. And I'm wondering if it's possible to install a good heating and air conditioning system. Did I just hang up?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I've got the solution if you really must have one.
But the answer is no, you can't forget about air conditioning.
Until now.
Oh.
You go to Home Depot.
Oh.
Okay. And you buy the smallest window air conditioner. You know the kind that you'd put in a window of your house?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you're going to figure out some way to install that, probably in the passenger side window. And it's nice to keep it from falling out. You roll the window up. Then, while you're at Home Depot, you're going to buy the following. a trailer, and a 110-volt generator.
And a 55-gallon drum to put the gasoline
in. No, you can use the same gas for the generator and the thing, and you're going to run the extension cord to the generator, you know, and you're going to run this thing. You're going to just pull the cord. You're going to run this thing, and it, you're all set. And you'll get heat because in the winter, just turn it around. No, unfortunately,
Gail, this is pretty hopeless.
The short answer is no.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, it is disappointing.
But you know, it's not too bad because these old Volkswagens were death traps.
Really?
Yeah.
We wouldn't really recommend a 60s VW.
Yeah. I mean, there was a certain charm to these old ones.
Uh-huh.
And I understand
and
that.
And a mystique.
Yeah.
Were you a Haight-Ashbury hippie?
Yeah, Bay Area, you know.
Well, smoke a joint and forget about the car.
Yeah. Buy yourself a, you need a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, there's no way to redo what wasn't done there.
Well, you know, what's unusual about these cars and kind of ironic is they have their best heat in the summer and the best air conditioning in the winter.
Yeah, they're great. If only you could save up all that stuff.
Right, right.
Check out the Mini. You might love it.
Thanks so much.
See you, Gail.
Okay.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Budapest, Pigeon Breast, Orange Zest, Ice Cream Chest, Minty Crest, and Rest, high test calorie quest is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our exhaust manifold specialist is Manny Burns. Our disciplinarian this week is Don Fuller Round. Our termite inspector is Luke Underwood. Our physics graduate student is Laura Venertia. Our alignment expert is Lou Sugusi. Our undergarment inspector is IC London. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known among the gridlocked baby strollers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1230, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can learn about an easy way to get rid of your old car while helping your favorite radio station.
Great timing. I always get rid of my old cars in the summer.
And why is that, pray tell?
Well, you ever tried driving a car into a frozen river? It's not easy to do that.
Support your local NPR station and get a tax deduction with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Info is available all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dogs come back and try to remove their markings from the side of the NPR building whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.